I have a friend, some of y'all might know, Gary Chapman's his name. Him and Amy Grant used to be married through a series of events. That's not happening now, but I talked to them this morning, and his daughter, they adopted a child named Eva Rose. I think now she's 5 years old, and when they adopted her, she couldn't speak or anything. Well, come to find out, she now has a brain tumor. So told him this morning that we would pray. They're going in for surgery on Wednesday. Good thing is they believe it's benign. Otherwise, they would have rushed her into surgery last week. But I just told him this morning that we would pray as a church body, and he texted me right back and said, "Tell them thank you." So thank you for this prayer we're fixing to pray. Eva Rose, if you'll remember, maybe throw something up for her on Wednesday. You know, with all this that we're talking about healing-wise and stuff, I'm getting to the point to where I feel like God is saying, you don't have to worry about doctors anymore. Isn't that crazy? So let's pray. Father, we lift up little Eva Rose, little pistol that she is, to you, God. And I know that she's fine in her own little young mind, but I also know the parents. And I just pray right now, God, that you will heal her so that even when they go in for preparation, they can say, "Never mind." And we believe that, and we believe that you're in the midst of something incredible in this area and in this nation. And so we lay her at your feet and say yes and amen over her. And we thank you for that. Amen. I've been praying over you guys all week, by the way. Just want you to know, I'm probably going to write a book. No. Here's what I've been praying over you. It's a great prayer, straight out of the Bible. It's amazing. You'd be amazed the prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed. Apostle Paul was an incredible praying man. People don't view him as that too much, but he was. But here's what I've been praying over you. I'll tell you the scripture after a while. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Been praying that over you. I even need to put your names in there, believe it or not. I pray that John, see, that throw you off. Don't let me throw you off. So last week we talked about the powerful thing called koinonia, which is what was happening. We've been talking about the early church and how it started and all this stuff, and so I've been kind of hanging around in there. Got a really interesting word, good word, I think, today out of this. But so we talked about that, and then as you move into Scripture, you go into like chapter 8, where Philip actually sees the first non-Jewish person come to believe in Jesus. This was a pretty powerful thing, and the Lord has him there and says, "Run up to that chariot," and he runs up to the chariot, and there's this Ethiopian treasurer there, which means he was a black dude. And he was reading the scripture and just happened to be reading Isaiah, which is just so good, because most teaching today would think that he was reading the law of Moses, but he wasn't. He was reading the prophetic word of Christ dying on the cross. And Philip walked up to him actually ran up to him because he's in a little chariot. He says, "How are you doing?" The guy goes, "I can't understand this. I need somebody to tell me this." So Philip gets into the chariot or whatever it was, and stagecoach is how I always view it in my brain, but he didn't wear a cowboy hat. So he explains to him, the Bible says he used the identical scripture and explained to him, obviously, what about Jesus. The dude got excited. It's amazing how Jesus will get you excited if you really know who he is. If you really believe in what he's done, he will excite you to know way. But So he's like, well, they were talking about baptism, and the Ethiopian guy goes, hey, there's some water right there. How about there? So sure enough, the Bible says that Philip dunked him, and when Philip came up, he was gone because God translated him over to another area, which is kind of weird. But the Ethiopian, the Bible says, he just went on. So that was kind of the first one, but it wasn't very well known. That was chapter 8. Then chapter 9, we've already done this one. Chapter 9 is Saul's conversion. Remember I talked about he was converted because he was very religious. He was the most religious. I mean, he was a Pharisee, y'all. He was one of the greatest religious men ever. So we obviously that didn't work. So until we're converted, we will never see the power that God has for us to see. And so so we know that Paul's conversion happened. But remember at the end of it, when God told Ananias to go and lay hands on Paul, he was like, wait a minute, man. I know this dude, and he's going to want to try to kill me, and you're wanting me to go there. And then the word says this out of Acts, the 9th chapter. This is what I want you to see. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings as well as to all the people. Now, you need to understand how rattling this was. This was a humongous thing that occurred. In fact, as you study out the word and you study out and read in all the letters that Paul wrote, Paul in a couple of the letters would say, and God gave me and let me explain to you the mystery of who he is. And that mystery was that the Jewish community and the Gentile community, that everybody could have this Jesus. It so rattled. I mean, it was hard enough. Think of this. Here you have the Jews, and you have the Jews that are angry because you have some Jews that are loving Jesus, and now God's kicking it into a different gear. Now watch this. So no longer was God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, Jesus died for all mankind, not just Israel. So when Paul was put into place, then you move to the very next chapter, and God continues in his interesting way, and this is what happened. It says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius. I just find that weird. I mean, just an Italian dude named Cornelius. Named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. So understand, he's just an Italian guy. He's not Jewish. And he was a devout, God-fearing man, as was everyone in his household. And he gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. Now, I want you to stop right there and understand what's going on here. He hasn't accepted Christ, yet he's praying to God. There's a lot of folks that pray to God, but they haven't really accepted Christ. Well, here's what I love, though. It says, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. And, of course, Cornelius does this. Cornelius stared at him in terror. I think I would, too. What is it, sir? He asked the angel, and the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. So as he was praying to this God up here, now please understand what I'm talking about, how radical this thought is. If you go all throughout the Old Testament, everybody outside of the Jewish community would say, your God, your God. Well, it's true that your God is powerful. You get it. So Cornelius was praying to this God figure, the creator of the universe. And he says, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. So now, send some men to Joppa and summons a man named Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon, a tanner, who lives there by the seashore. And as soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants, and he told him what happened, and he sent him off to Joppa. So you get this. Cornelius, the Italian dude, the angel says, man, you go find Peter. So meantime, here's the rest of the story. So the next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray, and it was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners, and in the sheet were all sorts of animals and reptiles and birds. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. Oh, no, Lord, Peter declared, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean. You need to understand. Peter now knows Jesus, but he still hasn't recognized what God is doing. So he's like, God, I'm not going to go against you. You've given us this list, which I'll show you. The list is crazy. But you've given us this list. And he says, I'm not going to eat anything that's declared impure and unclean. But the voice spoke to him again. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. And then the same vision was repeated three times, and then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. And Peter was very perplexed. What in the world could this vision mean? Well, just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house, and standing outside the gate, they asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying there. I stopped right there. Yep. The rest of the story's cool. Peter recognizes, in fact, Peter says, well, now I realize that God has no favorites, or, you know, he doesn't pick anybody. So Peter goes back with them. And it was really cool how this happened too to me, because Cornelius said, hey, man, this angel, he told him the story. This angel came and told me, so he told me to send for you. So I've sent for you. Tell me. You know, so it's like, okay, well. And then, of course, Peter shared Jesus, and the Bible says they all were filled with the Spirit and blah, blah. I don't mean blah, blah, blah. I just mean, here's the word of the Lord, man. When I was in this story this week, that whole unclean thing, the law, of Moses was extremely difficult to live. And again, the point was, as you read in the New Testament, the law was given so that we could see how much we need a Savior. And so I want to walk you through, and this might be boring to you, but it's kind of funny to me. I want to walk you through how you had to eat if you were going to walk under the law. And by the way, if you're going to walk under the law today, you can do this. It's out of Leviticus. I've told you all before, I love Leviticus. So then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Of all the land animals, there are the ones you may use for food. You can eat any animal that has completely split hooves and chews cud, like a cow. But you may not, however, eat the following animals that have split hooves or that chew the cud, but not both. See, the camel chews the cud, but does not have split hooves, so it's ceremonially unclean to you. And the hyrax, which, by the way, hyrax is a rock badger, if you care. The hyrax chews the cud, but does not split hooves, so it's unclean. And the hare, the rabbit, chews the cud, but does not split hooves, so you can't eat it. And the pig, of course, has evenly split hooves, but does not chew the cud, so it's unclean. What do I do here? And you may not eat the meat of these animals or even touch their dead bodies. They are ceremonially unclean to you. And then he goes on. Of all the marine animals, these are the ones you can use for food. You may eat anything from the water if it has both fins and scales, whether it's from salt water or from the streams, which would be fresh water. But you must never eat animals from the from the sea and from the rivers that do not have both fins and scales. So I'm thinking that leaves out the turtle. They're detestable to you. This applies both to little creatures that live in shallow water and to all the creatures that live in deep water. Now, you got this. This is what you have to walk in, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 11, they'll be detestable to you. You must never eat their meat or even touch their dead bodies. Verse 12, any marine animal that does not have both fins and scales is detestable to you. Then here we go to the next. These are the birds that are detestable to you. You must never eat them. The griffin vulture, the bearded vulture, the black vulture, the kite, the falcons of all kinds. I got ravens highlighted on purpose. I'll get there in a second. Ravens of all kinds, the eagle owl, the short-eared owl. I guess the long-haired one's okay. The seagull and hawks of all kinds, the little owl, maybe not the big one, the cormorant, the great owl, the barn owl, the desert owl, the Egyptian vulture, the stork, herons of all kinds, the hoopoe, whatever that is. I don't have a clue what a hoopoe is. I should have looked it up. I should have done a word study on, no, Ken. And the bat, verse 20. This is probably my favorite. Number one, we're not going to eat bugs, but these are the bugs they could eat. Well, actually, I've had chocolate-covered ants, but they're mostly chocolate, just so you can say you had them. Here's what I love. This is greatness. You must not eat winged insects that walk along the ground. They're detestable to you, but watch, you have an out. You may, however, eat winged insects that walk along the ground and have jointed legs so that they can jump. This is in the Bible, y'all. The insects you are permitted to eat include all kinds of locusts, bald locusts, crickets, and grasshoppers. Grasshopper. And all other winged insects that walk along the ground are detestable to you. So now here's what's interesting to me. Peter knew all of this, and every one of these varmints were inside of this big cloth that came down from heaven when he saw this. And Peter said, I ain't eating none of that. I've never eaten anything up here. And what did he say? God said what? What God has cleaned, no longer call unclean. So this got me to thinking, the whole raven thing, and you remember Elijah. And so let's go to this Elijah verse, and I want you to show the word of the Lord today, and then I'll leave you all alone. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God that I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. And that was true, by the way, if you follow it out. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by the Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you. Now, they're still under the Old Testament. Eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. I think, did I go any further? Probably not. I did. Well, let's finish. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside the Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook, but after a while the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. And that's when he takes off and goes to the widow of Kereth, which we all know and have heard taught, blah, blah, blah. Stand by. There is a shifting that is happening in the kingdom. And I'm telling you, if I've ever understood and listened to the Lord, I'm telling you something that's very important and powerful. And I think it's cool that you, the ones of you that are here. Because I think this is the birthing of something dynamic. God is shifting. God is shifting in all areas. God is shifting in all thought patterns. God is doing an incredible thing. It's similar to what happened. Gay and I were in California the mid-80s, early 90s, and there was a thing that was happening there, and it came out of the hippie movement. You remember the hippie movement? Some of you might not. Flower Children. That was all California, man. And of course, that was when I was a puppy, but this was birthed out of that. What happened was those young hippies, long hairs, whatever you want to call them, started coming to know Jesus. And they were not accepted because of what they came out of and their look. They were not accepted in the church. In fact, there's a guy named, if you want to, he's still going, you'll love him. Bob Beeman, B-E-E-M-A-N. I laugh because he's an old guy like me now, but he's a kick in the pants still. He had a heart for these kids. What happened was he went to the churches and asked if they could have permission to attend the church. Well, some of the churches said, well, of course, we love everybody, we accept everyone. But what ended up happening was these long hairs were sitting in a corner somewhere in the back. They were there, but they weren't there. Do you get what I'm saying? We had in California at our church that I was on staff at, every first month of every Sunday night or something, we went out to the streets and would pick up some homeless people. And like it or not, I'm just going to be honest, this was not my decision. We would put them in the balcony. And they would come, and we'd put them in the balcony, and they would listen to whoever's speaking that night. And then afterwards, we'd give them sandwiches and take them back to the park. And we would mark a checklist off, and so we've done what we're supposed to do. They never were connected with us. In fact, the closest they got connected with us, two of them started having a fist fight up there while the guy was speaking. And I'm sitting on the platform. That was back in the days when you sat on the platform. I'm sitting on the platform, and we have a little phone, and I'm like, Joe, there's a fist fight going on. And he was probably talking about the love of Jesus or something. I go back to that scenario. So what happened was Bob Beeman realized that they weren't going to be accepted, so he started a church called The Sanctuary. The Sanctuary, in its heyday, had 36 churches. One of them was actually in the Philippines. And it was all long hairs, and that's where the love, I don't know, again, I'm talking to some of you older, younger ones, then contemporary Christian music is kind of birthed out of that, where these long hairs were starting to write some really cool songs, and they were incorporating him in the way that they worship. It rattled the church to its core because we were Jewish and didn't believe Gentiles were accepted. You get it? And it was just fun for us to watch this happen. And it rattled me to the core. I was a young Texas young man, and I had what I thought an understanding of loving people in grace. But then we got to California, and I ended up doing this little television show about contemporary Christian music. And one of my first interviews was with a punk rock group called Undercover. And holy smoke, man, these guys were legit punks. You know, most punks, like Texas punks, would get that real stiff stuff to make the hair stand up, you know, the real sticky gel and stuff. No, but these people got glue. They're serious about it. No, I'm serious. It was glue. So here I am, a young minister from Texas, thinking that I love people, because I really do love people, and I walk up to Ojo. In fact, he's still my friend on Facebook, and he's decided he's an atheist now, but it's okay, because I'm fixing to tell him this story. I actually have written half of it, and I'm going to send it to him in a private message, and he can do with it what he wants. So I'm interviewing Ojo Taylor, married, family of five, five kids, right? So I mean, it's a normal on paper, but dude, the dude is punked up, and you know, purple hair, and it would cut you if you touched it, and just dressed like this, and their music, okay, and this has got nothing to do with Christianity as far as Steve Van Zandt's concerned. You get it? So I'm interviewing him, but the thing that was driving me crazy, he had these deep blue eyes. And as I was talking to him, I couldn't keep my eyes off his eyes because of the love of Christ that was in his eyes. And that's what I'm going to write him. I'm just going to tell him, look, I hear what you're saying. You don't believe in all this. But Ojo, I've hung on to that. When my daughter died, I hung on to that mental picture of Ojo talking to me while inside I am dying. You cannot have Jesus in you. But then I'm watching people come to Christ. And then I didn't read the Bible much, so I didn't know chapter 10 was really there yet, right? So I just share that to say that was what was happening. And so Bob Beeman, God raised him up. Now the coolest thing is, I think, The Sanctuary stopped in, I think, like the year 2000 or something, because they weren't needed anymore because of we had progressed a little bit. We, the church, had progressed a little bit into all this, right? So while we're there, this whole love song, y'all wouldn't know long. There was just some, life was filled with guns and war. Do any of y'all remember this song? Life was filled with guns and war, and something got trampled on the floor. I wish we had all been ready, but there's no time to change your mind. The sun is coming, you've been left behind. There's some old school stuff. How could the devil, like Larry Norman, why could the devil have all the good music? Why should the devil have all the good music? And we're going, oh no, stop it, that's devil, you know? And you had guys doing seminars that said, you know, there's backward masking and the evils of it. And I finally came to an understanding, a common sense understanding. In fact, I even asked a guy one time, and he was highly offended, because I asked him, I said, when, because it was, even in drumming, there was a devil beat. There's a devil beat. So I'm like, okay, at what point does it kick into the devil beat? 4-4 time. When does it get to the devil beat? 4-4-4-4. You know, and so I'm dealing with all that, and we were pretty edgy. My wife and I was a youth pastor on staff, and I actually did a seminar at I was Assembly of God then, and we did this seminar at their big conference, and mine was contemporary Christian music, friend or foe, evangelism or compromise, right? And the guest, the keynote speaker who was there, who was pretty famous at the time, he also had one going on, and it was, you know, how to evangelize or something. Well, I had over 1,000 come to mine, and it was mostly parents, because they wanted to know, right? And I had done this, put this thing together, and back then I was friends with Striper, and we had, so I had all this video done, and it freaked them out like it did me originally. And they all came up to me afterwards, the parents I'm talking about, the kids were like, oh yeah, man, cool. You know, it was the parents that were freaking out. And they come in, they go, that, you can't deny the love that, you can't deny the people. I mean, one of the greatest testimonies ever was Striper received a letter where this dude had put a gun to his head, and he reached over to his brother's vinyl, to his brother's thing, what's it called, record player, and he turned it up because he didn't want anybody to hear the bullet, and he turned it up, and it was Striper. To hell with the devil! You know, it's like, what? But he said, watch this, he said, you not only saved my life, you changed my life. Yeah. Let me tell you something. That's 100 years ago. I get it. But there's a shifting that God is doing. There's a shifting that God is doing. I need to stay on notes a little bit just because I don't want to forget something. Yeah. So we're all in this, right? So I'm doing this little contemporary Christian music show. Well, here's what's so funny. My dad back in the day, again, I have Assembly of God roots. I have pastors, one of my cousins, still a pastor. And so I was always a little, I was a black sheep in the family back when I was doing drugs. It got worse when I came to know Jesus because I didn't do it properly, you know what I'm saying? So my dad kept pressing me, I want to see your show. I want to see one of your shows. Well, I said, okay, sure. So, of course, I had some that were pretty generic, you know, Amy Grant music, and, you know, but I just pulled a Striper one out and a White Cross, and yeah, like I did the heavy metal one here. Dad, watch this. So, here's what's so funny. After it was over, he gave it back to me, VHS tape, by the way, and he says, so that's what you do. Yeah, if it didn't do anybody but his son, baby, I'd have got smoked for it. But so we're there, and so this is kind of California at the time, and it might be that way now. It's been a while since we've been there. California at the time was about 2 years ahead of this area of Texas. What I mean by that is, like, they were already into double earrings for guys when the single earring finally got accepted in Texas. You see what I'm saying? So they were always on a little bit further along the edge. But we're at a softball game. It was a contemporary Christian music celebrity softball game. And I'm watching it. I'm talking to Brian Duncan. I don't know if anybody might remember his music. Great voice if you want to ever listen to him. And he's like, oh, man, that's Chuck Smith coming up to bat. And Steve Van Zandt, Texas boy, goes, who's Chuck Smith? You would have thought I said, who is Jesus? You don't know Chuck Smith? And I'm like, I don't. Well, come to find out, Chuck Smith's church opened up to all them long-haired hippie San Francisco treat people. To an incredible degree, one of the greatest stories ever told concerning that situation, they were having church service. They had grown. He started in a little place. They 35,000 people, something like that. Not every service, but total. And so they had this big, probably, you know, 5,000 people there. And the story's told of this long hair coming in the sanctuary, the Holy of Holy Church, walking down and sitting. I can't do it now, but I used to could. Cross-legged. I could do it right now, but I couldn't get up. Sat down cross-legged, you know, 3 feet from the pulpit, right? So people who were at Calvary, it was called Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa, people who were new to the church, and they're the church just because it's cool, man. Chuck Smith, he's a cool pastor. Boy, the buzz started. You know, what is he going to do? From the back walks down a deacon. Walking down. And several said, yeah, members like, yeah, well, we know what. Walks down, and the dude's sitting right here. He walks down next to him, whispers something to him, and sits down and crosses his legs with him. For the whole service. Yeah. What God has cleansed, let no man call unholy. I share the Elijah thing to try to make an extremely important point. God didn't tell him to eat the bird. He told him to eat what the bird brought. And what did the bird bring? The bird didn't bring a cell phone. Bird didn't bring a gaming device. Bird didn't bring social media. The bird brought the word. Bird brought the word. Who's the bread of life? Thank you. What did the bird bring? Okay, and meat. What is meat? Meat goes beyond just where we are. Here's what I want you to know, and I'm going to proclaim to you it's happening, and I just am excited about it, and it might make you happy, it might make you sad. God is raising up the raven. Micah, where did you go? You still here, Micah, or did you split on me? You split on me. Okay, I'm going to talk behind your back. A great example of that. God is going to raise up, I should say going to, God is in the midst of raising up men and women who don't look the part, who don't smell the part, but ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, they love Jesus, they're consumed by Jesus, they got their head buried in the Word, not their phone, they're buried in prayer, do you hear what I'm saying? There's something stirring in this kid today, and it's been stirring in me all week. It's the day of status quo is over. And I don't mean just for our church. I'm talking about our, I said this a couple of weeks ago. There's a powerful prophetic word that came from a prophet in Australia that was talking about God, what God's going to be doing in Texas from Australia. And as I started reading it, and he said, man, and then I just felt like God was honing into the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty close. And he said, and I kept praying, and I kept praying, and he said, and I saw these huge two angels with trumpets blowing. And he said, and I saw this picture of Bass Hall in Fort Worth, Texas, and it's the exact angels that I saw. And I thought, oh, my goodness. This ain't play, man. This guy's from Australia. He's not from Fort Worth. There's other prophetic words that have come that God's in the midst now starting this thing called these suddenlies. And what has happened is preparation has come into fullness as time has come into fullness. It's a baby being birthed, ladies and gentlemen. You get it. Mama screams, just tired of being sick in the morning, but right before that baby comes, what is it? Ah! And then, bam, the baby comes. Right? And then all the attention's on the baby and not poor mom who spent 9 months of carrying that stupid thing, right? What about me? Oh, he's so cute. What about me? I'm ripped up here. Yeah, the church wouldn't accept the hippies' long hairs, but Jesus did. We've heard a lot about the millennials. I'll be the first to admit that I've mocked the millennial in my own way. Which, by the way, we're really not mocking the millennial. The millennial is more like my kid's age. Here's what I love. This latest generation is Generation Z, as in XYZ. As in there was an X and a Y and a Z for all the other ones. And, you know, I'm the baby boomer. Well, there's a baby boomer 1 and 2. I'm at the end of the 1. Gays at the beginning of the 2. Like, that matters. Whatever. What I'm saying is, well, let me just say where the Lord showed me. The millennial / Gen Zers, which, like, were born in 1995 up. So, do the math. So, they're 20 years old or, you know, and up. they have left the church in masses. And here's what the Lord showed me. They've left the church in masses because they hear opinion, but they see no love. Everything that my wife said today, which might have rattled you about that short clip of that kid that hugged the cop, spoke volumes about Jesus more than any other words we could say. Yes, the Bible's clear that the preaching of the word is, you know, that's how people get it. But they're going to get it from our koinonia. Remember, we talked koinonia last week. Koinonia being the love and the encouragement that we give one another and to others. Out of that will flow this flock of ravens that God has raised up and is raising up. And it's not going to be church as normal anymore. And I'm not just talking about us. It's not. It's not going to be church as normal anymore. It's not going to be leadership as normal anymore. I can't tell you the times where I would be frustrated with stuff like that. And man, God just so set me free, because it's all about Him and not about me. It's everything in me, my passion, my passion, my passion is to love and touch other people's lives. Wherever that is, wherever that happens, however that can be. So I want to show you this short 3-minute video, and I'll talk to you in a second. I'm going to show you this short 3-minute video, and let me preface it by saying, I'm not saying this is how we have to do stuff. What I'm saying is, when you see this man, this is what I'm talking about, who's a raven, right here. 3 minutes.
See, we think that this thing is hard, that this is technical, that I've got to be years and years and years in the gospel. No, you don't. You just have to be completely surrendered, sold out, all chips to the center of the table. I've given you my life, and I'm not taking it back. And you have to allow the Word of God to determine everything that you believe instead of life to determine everything you believe. One day I'll put off the tent, but to live is Christ and to die is gain. With every breath I take, I'm going to glorify Jesus in my breath. I'm going to glorify Jesus in my walk. I'm going to glorify Him in my talk. I'm going to glorify Him in my finances. I'm going to glorify Him in my marriage. I'm going to glorify Him in how I father my kids. I'm going to glorify Him in how I respond to an atheist that hates me and is spitting in my face.
God, I thank you for both of her knees, and I thank you for her back. Lord, I ask you to bless her and overwhelm her with your goodness and your mercy. Father, thank you in Jesus' name.
A word of knowledge isn't so I can feel important. It's so God can cut the heart. Cut the heart. It's not so I can impress people. It's so God can cut your heart to let you know He is real.
Like, what did that do? Like, how did you?
Well, it confirms, you know.
That's awesome.
It just confirms. Like I said, because we're Christians, and I believe, and
yeah.
But it just... Sometimes forget.
Father, I thank you for everyone in here. God, I ask you to actively empower them. Let them know their created value. God, let them see people like you see them. Let them hear people like you hear them. I'm asking you to save people today, to heal people today. Christ is in you. He's the hope of glory, and you're about to go out there to give people hope. God, I need this word to be in me so deep that when response comes out, all it is truth. Like a machine gun in every area. I don't want to give people my opinion. I want to give them your heart, your mind. I want to have your ears when people speak to me. I want to have your eyes when I see people. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. God, use these hands, use these feet, use these lips. I'm going to glorify you in everything I say and everything I do. If you would see what God sees when you walk into a room, you would freak out. Because when you walk in, light shows up and darkness has to flee. Are you just going to hold back from people knowing that their time could be today and you might be their last chance? You treat every day as though it might be the person in front of you's last time to see what Jesus might look like. Don't pass them by.
Yeah. Todd goes out and teaches that stuff. That's not the point. It's actually the... there's a little bit of what he's saying in the significance of one book about our lives. We just have to start paying attention. I don't know that we have to go out as a group and do what he does, but I do firmly believe that as I go out as a person. I had a guy yesterday that delivered my DoorDash meal. I get lazy sometimes, so I just have him bring it to my office, and I just kind of missed an opportunity there. Because I wasn't, and here I am with this message in my heart. Do you get it? It's like stepping over the guy on the Jericho, just stepping over the guy, and the Samaritan, and going on to Jerusalem so I can, I leave the guy that's bleeding and dying so I can go do my duty. So here I am with this all in my heart. And I mean, the second he left, it quickened to me. Why didn't you just, listen, don't tell me about personality. Well, you have the person, I've had that told me a million times. That's easy for you. No, it's not easy. But it's not the point. The point is, God is raising up. He's raising up people that have a passion for him. And let me tell you something that came to me powerfully, just so you know, if you don't, it was September 19th or something. It's when the new year actually starts in the Jewish community, in the Jewish calendar. And I was reading this stuff, and one of the words in it is pay, P-E-Y. It's a Hebrew word for the number for the year 2020 is really where they're in their thinking. And that word is 80, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. Moses was 80 when he first walked up to Pharaoh. Caleb was 85 when he took his mountain that he'd been promised for 40 years. What the Lord was showing me is Chuck Smith didn't relate at all to the people he reached. I don't think Chuck ever did a drug in his life. But he loved them into the kingdom. And he was an old codger. So the Lord spoke that to me, but it's not just for me. It's for any of you who think you're too old, too uncool or whatever. No, sir. Love is powerful. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to reach a time where we don't have to just lay hands on people. People are just going to be healed because we have this incorporate worship of God, because he's our passion, because he's what we really desire, because we really have set aside. And I'm not being the old school, hammer the stuff down, television stuff. What I'm saying is there has been a turn in this kid where it's a serious turn. My passion, I really and truly honest to you, God, want him in me like that. I want to proclaim to Carl and believe it, to get up and walk in the name of Jesus. Do you get it? That's what happened. John was looking back there to see if he did. That's what happens. That's what happened in that new church, man. They didn't do nothing. They just said, in the name of Jesus, get up. And the formulas are gone. Formulas are gone, and I'm just scatter shooting right now with a shotgun when the one point I was supposed to make today is this. You consider yourself a raven. Good. Good. Because it's going to be you. Well, whatever I have, put that last little blurb I did up. These ravens, they won't look church pretty, but they'll be Jesus powerful. And they are you. I just want to pray. Let's just pray. I want to pray. Father, we're done with just church. We got whole lots of folks that need your touch, your love, your mercy, your grace. I pray, God, especially for me, Steve Van Zandt, right now, open my eyes to DoorDash when it happens. Open my eyes when I'm out and about and not paying attention because my day's too busy. Take my head out of things that aren't important and make them come into you. Lord, keep the word coming in me. I'm just so hungry for your word, and it is so delicious. Lord, let that become a part of all of our lives, Father, to where we get it, to where we understand that you love us so deeply. That's why you speak to us. That's why you walk with us. In the depth of my corners of my soul, I will proclaim your greatness, O God. You are so good, and you love your people so much. And by the way, that's why God does speak through people to his people. That's why it's what Todd said. When you get a word of knowledge or something, you just speak it forth. It's because God loves people so much that he wants that to happen. Father, I pray that that depth of your love Father, I'm going to pray this prayer again over this congregation. I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love, and you'll keep strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to really understand fully. Boy, that's so true. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. God, that's our heart today. This group of people that you gather today, small crowd, big crowd, doesn't matter. It's the people you wanted to touch today, that you wanted to understand today, that you wanted to hear today. God, I just pray that your passion will become our passion, that we will just really and truly, as ugly as we might look on the outside, you'll allow us to eat enough of your bread, and even more so that we can bring meat to the people who are hurting and dying. God, this generation that is coming up, this Benjamin generation, this last generation in this grace dispensation of this last of the last times, they don't need our opinion, God. They need our love. But they do need your thoughts. So, Lord, open our hearts to your thoughts so that your thoughts will show the love that you have for them. And for those who think they're too old, I pray a renewal and a strength, God, in their hearts. I pray you go back into those deep corners back in the day when they were hurt by the church. Church didn't know any better, God. They didn't know any better. Let there be a clarion call, O God. To those around us, give us a hunger for your word, a hunger to find out who you are. Let it become deep within us, Lord. Let the frivolity and the goofiness of life around us, we want to share you, not anybody's opinion of you. I want what's inside of me to be able to get to somebody else. So use those words, Holy Spirit. Use those words in my life. I pray, Lord. I pray for our community. I pray for this church. are so good, and we are so grateful, God. Go ahead.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard your voice, and it told your love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
If you're, that's in your heart today and God's moving, just stand, just if that's in your heart.
I surrender all.
Sing it, yes.
I surrender all to thee, blessed Savior.
God, we're standing today as our commitment for faith. We're not the Savior. You're the Savior. But we're going to tell what the Savior's done for us. And I call home right now all those, God, who've been lost to the ways of the world. We call you home to the truth. Not with condemnation, but with love, with truth, with the testimony of our mouth, we call you home. Thank you, God, for what's happened in our nation. Let us not lose sight of it, and let us water it in prayer, and let us speak life, and let us speak against those who come against light, and support them, God, with prayer and with love. God, we thank you today. We give you praise today. Let your heart be not troubled. Whatever you've done, it's not greater than God. Stop thinking you're the reason that they will never come back because of what you did. Let me set you free from something. You cannot heal a broken heart. That's his job. And patty caking around and trying to stroke it isn't going to heal it. Let go and let God. God, we call them home. We call them home. Nobody's fault. Stop the blame. Stop the shame. Let's move on with the love game. Come on. Amen. God bless you. God bless Christian Center of Fort Worth. Amen. Appreciate those who serve. Appreciate those who serve.